Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
We are glad you have joined us this morning. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey. It is the 23rd Sunday in Ordinary Time. How are you doing this morning, Bishop?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Good.
We'd like to say good morning to all of our radio listeners, but also everyone listening online. We thank you for joining us today. Our gospel is from St. Mark, so Bishop, if you would now proclaim that for us.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Again, Jesus left the district of Tyre and went by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee into the district of the Decapolis. And people brought to him a deaf man who had a speech impediment and begged him to lay his hands on him. He took him off by himself away from the crowd and put his finger into the man's ears, and spitting touched his tongue. Then he looked up to heaven and groaned and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be open. And immediately the man's ears were opened. His speech impediment was removed, and he spoke plainly. He ordered them not to tell anyone, but the more he ordered them not to, the more they proclaimed it. They were exceedingly astonished, and they said, He has done all things well. He makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Bishop, it's kind of an interesting observation, but at the beginning of this gospel, it seems like there was a lot of geography to cover.
Yes. Well, and St. Mark certainly wants to situate, where everything is taking place. And
yes. No, but I mean that there was movement over a wide area, covering ground, if you will. There he was in Gentile territory, and then Jesus proclaimed the good news and word and indeed. And there were certainly a lot of deeds in the gospel.
It just shows that he's moving around. So if there's any people out there that really know the geography well of the Holy Land, please excuse me. And the point is that he meets this man that was brought to him by others, a man who was deaf and because of his deafness also had a speech impediment. And we've seen that in people. And they begged him to lay hands on him. So it's interesting in other places, you know, when there's a malady of such blindness or deafness, it's kind of like who sinned. But what's interesting in this gospel is that people brought the man and they begged him to lay hands. So it was not somebody that they were, you might say, accusing of a life of sin or looking for whose fault was this impediment of the man's, but they obviously were supporting him. They begged Jesus to lay his hands on him. The next kind of interesting part of the gospel is that he took him away from the crowd. The people who brought him, now he's taking him away. A personal thing, and we can speak about that in just a moment, how personal this is for this man with Jesus, to be with Jesus in that way. We also find him doing something which he didn't really, I mean, being God and being who he is, he didn't need to do, but he went through these almost sacramental signs of laying hands, of the spittle and the finger in the man's ear, the spittle on the tongue to release the speech impediment, where he could have just said, you know, be healed, go. But he went through this kind of almost, we would say ritual, Ephphatha, then saying the words, be gone. And then he ordered them, as he's done in so many other places in the gospel, not to tell anyone. But the more he ordered them not to, the more that they did it. Again, what is the reason for that, other than the fact that Jesus did not want his life on earth to be misinterpreted as a wonder healer or someone who only came to just heal illnesses? He came to heal the most profound illness that plagues the human person, and that is sin. Came to redeem us, to set us free from our own sin. And so while his compassion, his love, his desire to bring full life to everyone is certainly revealed in this gospel and many others, his mission was to reconcile us to God, and did not want that to be misinterpreted or overshadowed by these cases that we see throughout the gospel.
And with that being said, he didn't want to turn down people knowing that he could heal them, because that would have, in a sense, defeated the purpose of the miracles he could perform.
That's part of his life and his ministry here. But again, not to bring that into the foreground before actually came to do, which was to suffer and die for us and rise again. That whole mystery had to play out so that this could even be understood. Otherwise, he would just be, you know, a miracle worker in the street. There was much, much more than that in his divine nature.
And of course, there was a lot, as you mentioned, a lot of signs. And you look at the one where it's the people who want him to lay his hands on them. And I think about how important his hands are, and hands in general in the priestly ministry. The hands are outstretched at that moment that you ordain the priest, as the washing of the hands as part of the liturgical ceremony right before the Eucharist is consecrated. So many important moments where the hands of the priest play such a significant role.
Right. Yes, and that's certainly, but I think before we, let's look at, though, the whole idea of listening. This is a man who's deaf. And of course, we'll get to the laying on of the hands, but this is a man who is deaf, which then leads to imperfect speech or an impeded speech. I think the gospel today, and of course, we always have to look at the gospel also in the context of today. I was asked not too long ago by a very educated man in the presence of some other people that was a very, I'm trying to grasp the word, but very interesting group of people, of college professors and people involved in politics, and this man with a very large business, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And he asked me a very interesting question, and that is, how can we change the world, especially in parts of the world where people are fighting and arguing and over religion even? It's the world we live in. And of course, I was a bit taken off guard because we weren't there to do that, but he was not Catholic, and he said, I'm not sure how many other chances I'll have to be in the presence of a bishop, so he thought he would take the chance. But it was an interesting moment to be able to share things. And he agreed with me. I said, you know, we've got to learn to listen to one another, listen to reason. What we're experiencing now in this country, and we are so caught up in emotions that we are not listening. It's almost as if we don't have ears to hear, like we're deaf people. We're deaf to one another. We're deaf to reason. We're deaf to anything that could be beyond human reasoning, which is the power of God speaking to us. We're so caught up in this, I would say, speech impediment. The speech impediment comes from the inability to hear. And so if we are not able to hear reason, if we're not able to hear God's gift of inspiration or wisdom that also comes from the church, if we're not able to listen to that, then our speech will be imperfect. And I think that's what we're seeing. So I think I wanted to bring out today that I think this simple gospel from St. Mark today, Jesus is opening the ears of the deaf men, is a real metaphor for our situation in this country right now that we're all experiencing. We complain about all the negative stuff that's going on back and forth, back and forth. We're probably having struggles with people in our own neighborhoods, families, because we've taken this side or that side, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But in that, we become deaf to reason, deaf to wisdom. deaf to the truth, deaf to the voice of God in our world today. And that impedes or destroys our speech. So what does our speech become? It's not civil. It becomes destructive. It doesn't build up. It tears down. It becomes critical. Total criticism of the other becomes negative. It's not positive. And so the connection between hearing and speaking is so, so close. And this gospel brings it out today. That we have to listen. If we can't listen, we can't speak. But too often we're speaking without listening. And that's what we're experiencing today in the worst kind of way. And that is my fear for the future of all of us, as of humanity. This man was speaking about the situation on the other side of the world. But I said, let's look at it in our own backyard. It's the same thing. When we refuse to listen to one another, we refuse to build a relationship with one another. Those that think differently than I do, then our speech turns to negative. Our speech turns to criticism, to judgment, back and forth, and nobody is built up in that way. And so we're headed to destruction that way, self-destruction. Imploding, as they say, you know, from within, because we're unable to do that simple act, which is not so simple, because anytime you listen to something that's different than your thoughts, it's a real test. But unless we are able to, and certainly differing views on things, whatever it is, should be able to listen without thinking I have to adapt your point of view all the way. And some things we can't and right. We won't, but I still have to listen. And that, without that, then our speech is impeded, and whatever we say will not be for building up, but for tearing down.
Bishop, that is a lot to think about. We are going to take a short break. We will continue our conversation as Our Shepherd's View continues. We will be right back. Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View on this 23rd Sunday in Ordinary Time. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and we continue to reflect on and discuss this week's gospel, according to St. Mark. And it's very clear that Jesus is wanting us to open our ears, which means sometimes being silent, taking the time to really, really listen.
Right. Well, we're all going to get emotional. I think we certainly can't avoid that. It deafens us, I guess, is the best way to say it. When you get so emotional about something, you don't hear anything else. And it, you know, emotions express our deepest feelings. I was thinking when I was teaching in the seminary, you know, there were some things that some of the pranks that some of the seminarians would do, and they certainly were not acceptable, especially for somebody studying to be a priest. But, you know, because they were around certain things that were very dear to me as a priest, I'd get very emotional. And you build up this resentment or these feelings towards certain people. And you got to go, whoa, wait. Yeah. You know, this guy's in training and he's going to learn. He's young. But, I mean, it's that kind of thing where we all get emotional. So emotions are not negative. It's when they take over. But as you said, the Lord wants us to listen, and because of that, we see this in this gospel, how he follows the plea of the people to help this man to open his ears. And what I think is interesting is that he goes through a ritual. You know, many times people today especially don't like to hear anything about rituals, you know, that to praise God we don't need rituals. Well, we've got a ritual right here in front of us, which is in the Gospel of St. Mark. And so look what he does. He first of all takes the man apart, sets him aside. He puts his finger into the man's ear. We certainly can see that the power of God, you know, is in Christ. He is God and man. And so that just putting his fingers, like the transmission of that healing power from him to the man. We see in other parts of the gospel where the woman said, if I can only touch his cloak. And when she did, he felt the power go out from him. And he turned around and said, who did that? Well, they eventually found this woman who said, I just wanted to touch your cloak. So it's that ritual of touching that's so powerful in people's lives, especially when we feel unloved, unwanted, or whatever's going on in our life, and just the touch of another person's mm-hmm. hand, or that's the first thing Jesus does. And then he takes spittle from his own saliva and touches the man's tongue to release the impediment. Spittle was oftentimes, I think, in the world that Jesus lived in, a form of healing. It was a form, part of the formula or what was used as a symbol of that healing. And then, of course, his word, Ephatha, to be open, to be released. And at that moment, his ears were open and his speech was no longer impeded, and he spoke plainly. So we have a little ritual here that Jesus goes about. It's interesting if those of us who have experienced a baptism recently, that even in the baptismal ritual, toward the end, after the water has been poured and the oil of consecration on the top of the child or the adult's head, but then the priest or the deacon goes through a little ritual, and you can see where it comes from right here, right in front of us, where it says, where the ritual of baptism says, the Lord Jesus made the deaf hear and the mute speak. So it's taken from this very gospel. And so then the priest or the deacon says to the child or the adult, the one that's being baptized, may the Lord soon touch your ears to receive his word and your mouth to proclaim his faith to the praise and the glory of God the Father. To hear and to speak, to be able to have that connection in ourselves. And I think, you know, again, what we were talking about in the last segment of our program about this emotions taking over and our inability to listen to one another. What is it for us as Christians? What is it for us as Catholics to? I think it was said in the Word of Life that we read last week, is the re-evangelization of ourselves. If we're going to start over and make any headway in relationships with one another, and especially with those who think differently than we do, we have to re-evangelize ourselves. We have to start from the beginning, or as our Word of Life this month is to go to the water well, dip in, and take what is Jesus telling us, which then cleanses the interior of myself so that when I meet that person I disagree with, I may do it totally different than I do out of emotion. Exactly. For example, if we simply went to the water well of the Word of God and we saw those words, if you're bringing your gift to the altar and there you remember that somebody has something against you, go and be reconciled. Or love your enemy, do good to those who persecute you. My goodness, if you look at the current situation that we spoke of earlier, put that one sentence into everyone's heart, not as just a memory, oh, that's nice, but whoever does that, and I hear this all the time, whoever does that, well, do it. Please, evangelize yourself, evangelize your heart, because we are to walk in this world as another Christ. Love your enemy, do good to those who persecute you. I think it would change the way that we spoke to one another, the way that mm-hmm. we treated one another, and our ears might even be open to listen. Maybe, again, if it's something, as I said, in faith, I cannot accept, and there are things out there, as we all know, that are in both platforms, we can't accept. But I still have to do good to those who persecute me.
Well, right. You can agree to disagree on some things, and then there are some things that you just can't. The non-negotiables, as it were.
Right. Or another one, if somebody asks you to walk 1 mile, walk two. My goodness, what a different world we would have if we just took those few words, which are words of life, which are words of truth, which are from the bucket of living water, and put those into our heart and lived by that, we would have a different world. But this, I think, is what Jesus in this gospel today is really calling us to re-evangelize ourselves, open our ears, and our ears will then be the channel to our mouth, and our heart will be changed because of his word, and we can return to a civilization that is a civilization of love, a civilization of love that Pope Paul VI called us to years ago, as he could foresee that we're heading down this road of division, of conflict, but what is needed is a new civilization, not a civilization of conflict, not a civilization of division, civilization of war and hatred and darkness, a civilization that does not respect human life, period. That has got to end if we are going to survive. It is a civilization of love. It's a civilization of forgiveness that is required. And that only can happen listening, hearing God's word, allowing that word to sink into the heart in order to re-evangelize it, to put God's word, to put God's life into my life. Then what comes out of my mouth will be purely for building up the human family, building up the creation that God has given to all of us.
And it starts with one person.
That's the last point we could go to, because look at this. Jesus took this person apart from the crowd. He gave them his attention. He spent time with this person. And I think as an image, as you said, it takes one person. Each one of us is called to go apart from the crowd. We don't have to do what everybody else does. We don't have to conform in the negative sense. We have to work in communion and unity with each other, which is unity is there because there are differences, and unity is built. It's not because I adhere to a certain group or right. I adhere to a certain way of thinking. That's uniformity. That's not unity. Unity is built by people who have God in their hearts, who have the word of God in their heart, and they want to follow the commandment to love your neighbor as yourself. And that is in every religion. If every religion took that simple sentence, do unto others what you would want them do to you, or don't do to others what you don't want them to do to you, that's the golden rule that is in every religion, every book. And it's there. And if that simple thing enlivened our heart, was the well, the living water that was there, we would have a different debate, we'd have a different world, and we could live together in peace and harmony. So I think during all of this, the next weeks and what's coming up, that we all have our positions that we want to, that we have to adhere to in some cases when there's intrinsic evil, when there are some things such as abortion, etc. Those are intrinsic evils we cannot accept and we cannot allow. But to get there, it's not through the emotional side of the argument. It's by accepting our brothers and sisters who may think differently than we are, loving them, working with them, speaking to them, not with an impeded speech, but with the speech which is the golden voice of God coming through us because he lives in our hearts.
Yes, it is a beautiful message and one that we really need to work on going forward. We thank you, Bishop, for your words and your insights. We also thank you for your time and the opportunity that we had yesterday in Alice to have the first synodal retreat where we were all focusing on listening for our future. And if our listeners miss that opportunity, they will be in the remaining deaneries in the diocese. More information on that to come. But right now, Bishop, if you would please close our program with a prayer.
Sure. O God, by whom we are redeemed and received adoption, look graciously upon your beloved sons and daughters, that those who believe in Christ may receive true freedom and an everlasting inheritance through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View. with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.